I'm afraid I have to conclude that we are doomed.
Hello, folks. TFG and Mike here from the Geekcast Radio Network and Powers of Grayskull series, Myths of Etheria. Before we get to episode 73, I just want to let everyone know, over the last couple months, I've had some audio recording issues that I've now fixed, with having to learn a whole new way to edit the podcast. As far as being able to record in clips, I'm no longer allowed to record in clips. I just can't do it anymore. So we're going to change the format of the show a little bit, and this is going to take us through the end of the show. Basically, the content is not going to change. It's just the way that it's presented to you. So each episode from here on out, starting in episode 73, we'll start with the intro. You'll then hear a clip from the cartoon. Plot, good moments, bad moments, awards, all in one go. Another clip for the cartoon, and then that cartoon's plot, good moments, bad moments, all that stuff. So there's not going to be two extra cartoon clips in between the Whispering Woods and Fright Zone moments and awards clips. Just want to let everyone know. Because at one point during all of this stupid debacle of audio recording stuff, I was about to quit podcasting altogether. Just not do it anymore because it was frustrating me so much. But now I have a solution and it's working. Hopefully it'll work for the rest of the time I decide to keep podcasting. For now, Myths of Etheria, episode 73. This is our... 9 episodes to go until the end of She-Ra. Yay! On with the show.
I am Adora, He-Man's twin sister and defender of the Crystal Castle. This is Spirit, my beloved steed. Fabulous secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, "For the honor of Grayskull!" Only a few others share this secret. Among them are Light Hope, Madam Raz, and Cowl. Together, we and my friends of the Great Rebellion strive to free Etheria from the evil forces of Horda!
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 73rd chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey, as he has been for the other 72 chapters, is TFG and Mike. Hello.
I hate my podcasting life.
Mike doesn't like change.
Yeah, no, change is horrible.
Well, regardless of the podcasting woes and the recording woes and the audio woes, let's ask a more pertinent question. Are you ready for Myths of Etheria, sir?
Not really.
So he's not even ready for He-Man or she.
At this point, the show has become mediocre to me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, no spoilers there then. In this episode of Myths of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 78, When Whispering Woods Last Bloom, episode 79, Romeo and Glimmer, and episode 80, The Perils of Peekaboo. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
Spinnerella have become true friends of the Rebellion.
That's right. Your special powers have really helped us.
It's hard to believe that a few months ago, we were only interested in having fun.
That's what got us into trouble.
I remember. It was right after Catra had ambushed one of our patrols. It was a beautiful spring day. We'd been on patrol for a whole week when we ran into Catra.
Here they come!
Meow. Hordak will be meow, very pleased when we return with a tank full of rebel prisoners. Meow.
First up today is episode 78, When Whispering Woods Last Bloom, aired somewhere around Saturday, September 26, 1987, written by Frank Becker. To celebrate their anniversary, Natosa and Spinnerella recount how they came to join the Great Rebellion. Hordak had tricked Spinnerella into thinking the rebels had captured Natosa, so she used her spinning dance to move the trees of the Whispering Woods and pave a way in for the evil horde. So we had She-Ra, we had Madame Raz, Bo, I don't know if it's Natosa or Natasa, whatever
say,
you want to
say. They say Natasa.
Natasa, Spinnerella, Cowl, Broom, Lighthope, and then we had Hordak, Catra, Shadow Weaver, Imp, Mantenna, and Grizzlor. So a whole host of Rebellion and Horde members. Mike, what did you think of our introduction to Natasa and Spinnerella?
I liked it. I thought it was interesting. I don't think it'll ever show up again.
You don't think what will ever show up again?
These two characters.
I will not. Tell you. I know the answer to that question, but I won't. I won't tell you. But what did you think overall of the plot of the story? How basically the tricking of the one, and how it kind of played into letting the Horde into the Whispering Woods.
I really think at this point, I don't know what the hell Lou Scheimer was thinking, because this almost feels like a redo of Secret of the Sword, where Shadow Weaver entraps someone's mind and to be a slave of the Horde, like she did with Adora, and all this and all that, and it just feels repetitive.
I do get a part of that is repetitive now with Shadow Weaver, how she controls certain people and allows them to try to have them give some type of edge to the Horde, especially when it comes to getting into the Whispering Woods. So I get a repetition there. It's interesting, what we haven't seen before, I don't think, is the introduction, and this could go all the way back to Eternia as well in our He-Man episodes. I don't know if we've ever had an introduction of a duo like this. Usually we get one person, or we get like a whole colony or like a whole race of people
that has
one person in charge, but we don't usually get like this, but you know, whether they're best friends or whatever it is, the duo introduced. So that's at least a little bit unique.
Yeah, it is.
So I was interested to see what these characters were like, because I honestly didn't even remember Natasa was a character. That's not someone, you know, I knew things like, I know there's a Myrmista, I know there's a Frosta, I know, you know, some of these, and I did not remember Natasa at all. Spinnerella, vague memories of, but I didn't know much about either of these characters, so I was on board with just learning about some new characters. That's something we talked about with season two, that we were looking forward to seeing some of these toy characters that hadn't shown up yet. So at least from that angle, I was on board with the plot.
Yeah, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that Natasa is the only second African-American character to be in the series. The only other one I can remember off the top of my head is, the scientist dude. Not Mendar.
I know. Are you talking about both series or just She-Ra?
Just, no, in both.
Okay.
In He-Man, the token black guy. Who the hell was he?
I know what you're talking about. He had his son. And
yeah, the scientist guy that had the assistant or the apprentice or whatever the hell he was.
No, I completely know what you're talking about. I just can't think of his name either off the top of my head. Well, so the stage is set for Natasa and Spinnerella. Why don't we go on over to Whispering Woods and see what we liked about it? All right, Mike, why don't you start us off with your Whispering Woods moments for today?
I do think that the two new characters are very interesting. As you said before, we've never really had a duo come in. I was waiting for Adam Levine or Blake Shelton to show up at, actually. That's a bad voice joke, folks.
That's terrible. He writes his own jokes, folks.
Yes, that's right. Actually, I get them from the monkey in Illinois. So
monkeys do not habitate Illinois. Other continents.
Yeah, they threw Trump out.
sorry, I don't know where we're going with this.
It's been a rough day. Plus, we're recording this right before Election Day. So anyway, I do like the new characters. I think they do make an interesting twist to the series. I hope that they do come back at some point. I hope they both come back as the duo. I don't want to be introduced to them as a duo and then later in a later episode it says, oh, well, here's Spinnerella, but Natasa's off doing a laundry or something, or she's whatever the hell. So I did like that. Imp versus anybody is awesome, but Imp versus Catcher in this was funny as hell. But that was great.
Yeah, he adds a lot of humor to the series from an evil standpoint, for sure.
What about you?
Natasa and Spinnerella are pluses for me, seeing them show up and seeing kind of how they differ from some of the other people we've seen. I did also like how they worked Spinnerella into the story with the tree angle, how there was an actual purpose for her in the story. I thought there was a cool move by Broom, if you're watching carefully, to get back under Madame Raz in one of the flying scenes.
Yeah, we also I saw that. That was...
Yeah. So that was a cool move by Broom. We had a flying Chibbit. and there were some funny lines. But overall, I didn't end up writing a lot of notes about this one because I was just trying to enjoy seeing two new characters and see what they were like. So that's really all I wrote down for the Whispering Woods.
Yeah.
What if we make our way over to Fright Zone? What do you have there?
This is kind of the same thing I've already said. It just, yes, I enjoy the new characters, and that's great learning a little bit about them. I wish it wasn't done in a flashback. I wish it wasn't done in that storytelling. Hey, I mean, I get it. The whole point is to celebrate their 1 year anniversary of being with the Rebellion, but I would have rather have met them as that story was being told and had that journey. Because as I said earlier, this just feels like, you know, a repeat of Secret of the Sword with, you know, turning one evil, then making one good, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I think there's a couple different problems with the flashback. Number one is, if this is their 1 year anniversary, why is it the first time we've seen them?
Mm-hmm.
And number two, there's, if you're telling this story, you would only be aware of what happened with you or what someone directly told you. And in the flashback, they talk about what was happening in the Fright Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that either one of them would know what was happening in the Fright Zone. They weren't there. So it makes it for a weird, kind of awkward thing. I know you got to kind of just take it for what it's worth. It's a cartoon for kids, et cetera, et cetera. But don't have a flashback and tell me stuff that happened to a character that wouldn't know because they weren't there. So I
and
do have some...
And a character that we have never known until this point.
Right. You know, and it would have been different if it was like... it should have just been the story. It should have just been the story of them coming into that. Having a flashback made no sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, you look at Manny Face. Is it Manny? Yeah, it was Manny Face's origin. Mm-hmm. Back in He-Man. We basically opened up on a dark and stormy night, and this monster is out there scaring kids and whatever else, and we then have the whole story of how he progressed. It is told in that flashback style, but... It's told to where we're supposed to have already... I don't know.
There was no purpose for that. Like, what was the purpose of a flashback?
Yeah.
Did it serve a purpose in this episode? And I would argue that no, you could have achieved everything without having the flashback.
Oh, yeah.
So anything else in Fright Zone for you?
Nope.
I had one at one point. I believe it was She-Ra or Adora, but I could be wrong with the... I didn't write down the character's name, but one of them is literally standing in the fire.
Yeah.
So that was weird. Not sure on the actual physics of Spinnerella being able to push the trees aside. I understand that you're going to be able to make them bend a little here and there, but I don't understand how that necessarily actually makes them move or makes the horde be able to enter. So I think the physics, as usual, were a little off.
Yep.
And I guess my main question that I was trying to figure out the entire episode is all of the characters that we've been introduced so far, for the most part, at least the women in the Rebellion have something they can do. Glimmer can do her thing with the light. Obviously, Frosta can freeze things. Spinnerella can spin, et cetera, et cetera. What exactly does Natasa do?
Well, as far as I can tell, she's just a warrior that has a cape slash net. Because if you look at her cape, she takes it off and it basically is a giant net. She threw it over one of the guards or something or other. We don't yet know what she can do. Like, the whole point.
I guess that would make sense since it's Net is in her name.
Yeah. Well.
So. Because I was gonna say all the other ones, their names give it away. Frosta, yeah. Spinnerella, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so maybe it is just about the Net.
So, I don't know.
If it is, she got the short end of the stick.
Well, the thing is I understand introducing them as a duo, and that's great, but the problem is you have the main focus of the episode being on one half of the duo, and the other one's in jail half the episode.
Yeah.
You know, so, again, the plot execution could have been done a hell of a lot better.
There was just some minor missteps here and there, I think, for me. And the PSA was basically about hugging trees. It was Captain Planet PSA, so I don't think we need to get into it too much.
You know the only thing I can think of? It's friggin' Cartman. Knock off all this tree-hugging hippie crap.
Basically, that could have been inserted right after Luki talked. So, yeah. All right, let's take a quick pause, and we'll be back with our first chance to hand out some hardware and see where exactly this duo rate with us. Back to hand out some hardware. Mike, Corbats or Protection Swords? The first chance to give something away today. Do you have anything?
I'm going to give a Protection Sword to Spinnerella and to Imp. Imp is great. I love Imp. The whole show should be about Imp, honestly. I mean, seriously, that guy is hilarious. Like I said, Imp fighting with Catra was hilarious, and I like Spinnerella's character development, even though, as I've already said, it's kind of repetitive as far as the how, the whys, and the what have yous and all that, but right. Still, I think she deserves a protection sword because she's an interesting new character, and she worked through the story, as crappy as it was, very well.
I'm going to buck the trend for me because typically when we have a new character introduced, I typically tend to give them a protection sword just because I like the idea that they're there and they exist, etc. I'm not going to do that this time. I did like Spinnerella and Natasa and seeing them. Their voices didn't drive me as nuts as some of the other characters we've seen previous to that. But I'm not going to say that they did anything that wowed me in this episode, so I'm going to leave all my hardware locked up for this episode and keep it for a future date. As far as Crystal Castles, what do you give this one, sir?
3 out of 5. It's average on the point of being bad, and it's not because of the characters, it's not because of anything anybody did, it's the fault of the writing, and the execution of that writing is just
I'm gonna differ just slightly, because you said it's average on the verge of being bad. I'm gonna say the other thing, basically. It's just slightly above average but it was on the verge of being great. Or good. I think it was just a few missteps away from being one of the better episodes we've seen. So I'm sitting at a 4 for me, just because I'm going to try to forgive some of the missteps. But if you would have taken the flashback out and you would have just fixed some minor missteps along the way, I think this could have been a solid, solid episode. It still gives us the duo, the new characters. It still gives us some humor with Imp. It still gives us some funny lines, etc., from some of the characters. So I'm up all the way at a 4 on this one. So, not too bad of a start, though. A 3 and a 4 could have been worse. We've seen worse scores. So, let's see if we can continue that trend or if we're going down a downhill slope the rest of today. So, after the quick break, we're going to be back with episode 79, Not Romeo and Juliet. We're talking about Romeo and Glimmer.
Of horde troopers are gathering here.
That can only mean one thing. That Hordak's planning an attack.
It doesn't make sense. He knows he can't break through Queen Angela's magical force dome.
You mean he has known that? If he's trying again, he must have a reason for thinking he can break through.
Begging your pardon, Queen Angela, our scouts have picked up this prisoner, Horde Corporal Romeo. He was captured near the force dome.
Good. He can tell us what Hordak is up to.
I've already told you my name. I won't tell you anything else.
Listen here, Corporal.
He won't tell us anymore, Bo. And we're not like Hordak. We won't try to force him. Besides, this arm looks as though it could use some attention.
I'll see what I can do about it. Bring him to the medical room, huh? Don't worry about your arm. It'll be just fine.
As I said, up next is episode 79, Romeo and the Glimmer, air date of Saturday, November 15th, 1986, written by Don Heckman, who we've seen before. Hordak plans
Wait,
to attack.
Wait, flashback to whole year? What the
yeah,
hell?
Yeah, this is a situation where a lot of these episodes that we're getting here in the last like 15 to 20 episodes, a lot of the sources are saying that half of them aired in 86 and half of them aired in 87. So I'm not 100% sure who to trust. That book hasn't come out yet that shows me any dates or anything like that. I mean, I don't have it. I don't know if it shows anything. But yeah, we're going to see that here and there. We're going to keep bouncing back and forth between 1986 and 1987. It was all Saturday releases, so what I'm guessing is they produced the whole season, as it were, or, you know, like 26 episodes or something like that, and then they used half of them in the fall of 86 and half of them in the fall/winter of 87. So yeah, we're back in 1986. Don Heckman wrote this one, and Hordak plans to attack Bright Moon using Entrapta's new Trapper tank. Meanwhile, Glimmer tries to capture Horde Corporal Romeo, and the two form a bond, but Romeo still manages to escape and plans to tell Hordak about Bright Moon's weakened defenses. So we have Hordak, Entrapta, and Imp, as well as Horde Corporal Romeo, and then we have She-Ra, Glimmer, Bo, Queen Angela, and Cowl. What do you think about this love story entangled in the world of Etheria?
Well, after about the first 10 minutes of the episode, I thought it was done and over with, and I thought we were going to be going to Luki's lend a hand at the end, because She-Ra defeats Hordak at about the first 10 minutes or 12 minutes mark, and I'm like, wait, is that it? And then they cut to Romeo there, and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot all about that guy. Romeo, you are no Leonardo DiCaprio, and Glimmer, you so are not any kind of Claire Danes at all.
If that is the Romeo and Juliet that you are going to associate most with, I guess.
I remember the original, but I don't remember the original that well.
It's probably one of my favorite film versions of it, at least.
Yeah.
We've seen a couple different Horde members that are given identities throughout the series, probably about four or five different times where we've seen a Horde captain, corporal, sergeant, whatever, that actually has a name, and we get to learn a little bit about him. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Romeo is probably at the bottom of that list for me. Out of all the ones we've met, he's my least favorite. I get it. It's a cartoon that's supposed to have some elements that are slightly tilted towards the female audience. So I guess having this love story makes sense. Romeo and Glimmer, man. Doesn't work for me as a guy, doesn't work for me as a cartoon fan, doesn't work for me as a Masters of the Universe fan. Outside of the Entrapta stuff with the Trapper tank at the beginning, which I thought was interesting action and cool, you know, showdown between She-Ra, Hordak, etc., the rest of the episode left me wanting a little bit as far as the plot goes. I don't need to just see the back and forth between these guys and the Romeo. Is he gonna betray her to Hordak, or is he going to betray Hordak to her? And I just, not something I need in a cartoon, for me at least.
So I've just come up with a crazy fan theory. I do not do this normally, but you look at Romeo, and he could essentially be a grown up cousin Jeremy. Corporal Romeo, Sergeant Romeo, whatever the fuck he's supposed to be called, he is Cousin Jeremy's, Adam's Cousin Jeremy from He-Man. He's all grown up, and somehow he ended up on Etheria, we don't know how, and he ended up a part of the Horde, and he ended up loyal to the Horde, and yeah, that's... Because I swear, every time I look at that character now, it's all I can think of is, oh my god, it's cousin Jeremy all grown up.
Huh. I did not see that connection. Interesting. Any other thoughts on the plot for this one?
Not really. We almost could just skip Whispering Woods unless you have anything, but...
I got a couple things that I want to touch on real quick. So, well, after a quick break, we're going to make a quick stop at Whispering Woods and Fright Zone.
We fences. Bo, you and Flutterina look after the walls while I see what I can do outside.
We're on our way.
I've got a feeling She-Ra's going to be needed very soon.
Ouch, that hurts.
A little antiseptic hurts? What kind of a soldier are you?
A very good one. I'm the youngest corporal in my regiment.
A horde regiment.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong? Look out that window. Your regiment is about to attack our castle.
We have to attack. This is a rebel castle.
Well, I'm a rebel too, but I just patched up your arm.
But you're different. I thought that rebels were all bad. You're not. But why do you fight us?
The reason we fight is because you're trying to take over our land.
We were told it was not your land. But let's talk about something else, like, well, like maybe being friends.
How can we be friends if we're enemies? I'd better go help defend our castle from your troops.
I guess that means you're going to lock me up.
Well, I should, but I won't. If you give me your word that you'll stay right here in the medical room.
All right, I promise.
All right, we are back at the Whispering Woods for the second time today. You said you don't have much, anything at all that you want to say good about Romeo and Glimmer?
No.
Okay, I got one thing.
I'm sure I'm going to steal this, but I didn't have anything written down. You said earlier the only good thing was Entrapta and her trapper tanks, and that's it.
Yeah, that's literally my line says, Entrapta, good seeing her again. I don't mind her as a villain. I'd like to see more of her, so I do appreciate that. As far as Fright Zone, there was a really weird line that Glimmer delivered when she says, we've got a new friend, and it was just awkward and creepy the way she said it. Anything Fright Zone for you, though?
A little bit technical this time around. I don't normally notice this with this series, but I did hear the animation coloring errors on Romeo. His horde symbol goes from red to black to black to red. It keeps changing from black and red throughout the whole episode. And the other thing is, it just feels like they are reusing plots more than ever. As I'm watching this, I'm like, what is Hordak's plan here? Like, I don't know
if we've seen. We haven't necessarily seen the whole love angle, I guess, with somebody from the rebellion and somebody from the horde. So that's unique, I guess, in a way. But it does. We have seen multiple times, like I said, captains or corporals or sergeants that are mixed between having to choose good or bad, etc. So from that standpoint, I definitely do think it's recycled. The PSA was about not giving up on real friendship. So you got real friends, don't give up on them. Unless you're me, just give up on all of them, because who needs them?
what did you think? Solo hates all his friends, folks.
I'm an independent person. I don't have time for friends. anyways, any thoughts on the PSA for you?
No.
Okay.
I don't even, at this point in this series, I don't even watch the, I hope there are no, I know there are no PSAs in the 2002 series. I hope there are none in the new adventure series, because I just don't give a crap.
I hope there are, and I hope they're awful. all right. One more break here for this episode, and then we'll come back and see if I decide that finally somebody is worth a horde bat or protection sword. All right, I saved my hardware from last episode, but I'm not going to give out too much for this episode. I just have one gigantic horde bat to give out, and that would be to Glimmer. And the reason Glimmer gets a horde bat for me is because she is basically in charge or left watching Romeo, who at this point is a member of the horde. And you got to assume that if there's a member of the horde, that number one, they're going to either be lying or deceiving you in some way, shape, or form. And she basically just lets him go and lets him escape because she trusts him to be in the room alone or something like that. Like, that's just dumb responsibility, you know, you're not taking your responsibility serious, and you're letting your emotions get in the way, and you're trusting someone from the Horde. So that should not have worked out well for you. You should be like court-martialed or arrested or fined or something, slapped on the wrist at least. So Horde bat for me for Glimmer. What about you?
Horde bat for Glimmer for everything you just said. Horde bat for Romeo for just being a wishy-washy guy. Either you're loyal to one or you're loyal to the other. You know, pick a side, you know.
Yeah. All right. Any protection swords for you? Anything positive that you want to mention?
Nah.
I'm with you. No protection swords for me either. Crystal castles for you for Romeo and Glimmer.
One. The only reason why it gets a one is because of Entrapta and the Trapper tanks.
Folks, the world is ending tomorrow. I'm in complete lockstep with you. I got one Crystal Castle for this one, again, just because of Entrapta. And the beginning 10 to 12 minutes, like you mentioned, was a decent episode. So the rest of it, downhill, don't bring back Romeo. Don't bring back any type of love story. I'm done with that. All right. Take another break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about another character, The Perils of Peekaboo, coming up next. Last episode up today is episode 80, The Perils of Peekaboo.
Only 13 more cartoons in this series. Finally, it's almost over.
Yikes. You're just exciting the listeners that love this series so much to listen to more of our talk about this series.
As I said before, this series is slowly going downhill for me.
I don't think so. I think it's been kind of up and down. We get a decent episode, we get a terrible episode, we get a mediocre episode. It's kind of doing the same thing He-Man did. So we'll see. Maybe there's some hidden gems here along the last 13. But The Perils of Peekaboo, which aired Friday or Saturday, somewhere around there, late November 1986, written by Bob Forward. Hordak has his troopers capture Peekaboo, so Shadow Weaver can put a spell on her and force her to reveal the Rebels' exact locations within the Whispering Woods. That way the Rebel leaders can be captured by the Horde's new grabbers. We have Shadow Weaver, Hordak, and the various assortment of Horde troopers. We have She-Ra, we have Glimmer, Bo, and of course, as mentioned before, Peekaboo. We also have the introduction of some other minor characters, Kieber and Peck, which we'll get to in a little bit. But we've already talked about the origins of Natasa, or at least the first episode that featured Natasa and Spinnerella. What do you think about this episode that features the first time we've seen Peekaboo?
This isn't the first time we've seen her.
It isn't?
No. I could have sworn we saw her earlier. Like,
maybe we did.
I don't know.
No, I think we did. I think you're right. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We did. But what do you think about this focus on Peekaboo?
I like this. I think this is really interesting. The other characters, Kieber and Peck, oh, God. As soon as I saw the names, because I didn't pay attention to the names, but as soon as I'm like, are those you guys the elves that make the cookies inside the tree? Keebler people. Keebler elves. Oh, boy. This one, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot better than the other two for today. There is one minor gripe that I'll get to later, but for the most part, I really did enjoy this. Again, this is Shadow Weaver mind-controlling somebody, but she's doing it. She's not doing it the Adora way, is I'm going to coin that phrase at this point, where she's doing it a completely different way, where she's basically using the person to do the Horde's bidding by constantly controlling her and having her use a power. Like Adora, at the time, we didn't know what power she had. She didn't have the sword or whatever else. It was just a full-on mind control of that person. With this, it's mind controlling Piga Blue to be able to use her powers for the Horde to gain an advantage in the war. And that is what I think makes this interesting compared to the other two episodes we've had today.
Yeah, I think there are some interesting aspects to this. I like seeing, like I said, anytime that there's these minor characters, I like getting an episode that kind of features them more than just a side character, more than just a passing thought. So I did appreciate that. Obviously it's just another episode that has Hordak with a new device or new thing that's going to try to help him. But that's what the series is about, is Hordak trying to capture the Whispering Woods, She-Ra, Adora, et cetera. So I don't think we can be mad for things that are going to be surrounding that aspect. So I do kind of like the way they painted this one up a little bit. So the plot is one of those, again, that does not, I sound like a broken record, but it's one of those that doesn't win the world for me, and it doesn't destroy things for me. You know, it's not gonna be the deciding factor. I'm on board, but it's all about the execution with an episode like this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's take a break and see how well they did execute the perils of Penelope Peekaboo.
By the way, Hordak, that prisoner you recaptured, what was he arrested for?
His cart splashed mud on a trooper. I gave him 20 years.
You let him off easy.
I know, but I was feeling merciful that day.
Oh, and Adam's trying to give Cringer a bath? I'm afraid Cringer doesn't like it very much. Now Orko is trying to help and... Oh,
Peekaboo, what is it?
I'm afraid everyone got a bath but Cringer.
It sounds like a typical day with my brother, all right. Oh, Peekaboo, thank you so much. Having you tell me about my family is almost as nice as visiting.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Adora. I like using my vision tail for such nice reasons.
I wish you would move to Whispering Woods, Peekaboo. You know, it would be safer for you. And you could tell us what the Horde is up to.
Oh, no, Adora. I'd be afraid to be part of the rebellion. But I can tell you what the Horde is doing right now. That's funny.
Nothing's funny as far as the Horde is concerned, Peekaboo. What is it?
I'm getting an image of us. Right here. Oh, they're here.
Who?
The Horde.
All right, last trip to the Whispering Woods. Mike, did you like it? Was there enough for you to write down a few things as far as Whispering Woods moments?
Oh, yeah, I love seeing Peekaboo. I think that's interesting. She's another one of those characters, though. I'm not like you in some of them. You're not too sure if you like or not, if you dislike the voice. And that she's another one that I'm not too sure on her voice. But I just love seeing her. I love seeing the character development that they gave to her. This is another episode where it features all of Hordak's horrible facial expressions.
Yeah,
his facial expressions are comedy gold in this episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
His Civil War like cannon was.
Oh, I have that written down too.
The arm cannon.
Hordak's arm as an old school cannon was awesome.
That's interesting.
Because we usually get some type of high tech space like you know, weird laser type thing or something like that. For it to actually be an old school like revolutionary Civil War type cannon was hilarious.
Shadow Weaver go bye-bye. So she disappeared. As I said before, I do like Hordak's plan, but somehow by the end of this episode, I felt his plans got repetitious. Like, his plan here feels like something that he did earlier. But overall, I did very much enjoy this.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed it overall as well. I think a couple things besides the arm cannon. Number one is I thought it was cool how they did like the look into Eternia.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't like it, but I
no, I liked it. I don't know. I was hoping for more of a cast a spell a moment where she basically pulls him right out of the screen.
Right. I also thought it was interesting, you know, when She-Ra actually was shown throwing the sword down in anger. We got some emotion there that we don't typically see from someone like a She-Ra or a He-Man. And I just thought it was another good character moment to see, like an episode about Peekaboo. So I was down for that. I swear this is the first time we've seen her, but maybe I'm just... I think I'm getting her and Flutterina confused, because I don't think we've seen Peekaboo. I think we saw Flutterina, but if we've seen Peekaboo before, I'm just having a complete mind blank on what episode that would have been in. So I did like seeing her regardless of if it was her first time or her second or third time. What about Fright Zone moments for you? What didn't you like about this episode?
The only one, Bo at the end with the 6 years back allowance joke. Oh my God, someone please kill Bo. Oh God. Because one thing in the plot we didn't really talk about, the son who wanted to fight off Hordak, actually his father was the guy that tried to get away at the beginning of the episode. So we have a father-son reunion at the end here, which is nice, but friggin' Bo. Oh my God.
Man, a couple big things for me as far as Fright Zone moments. Number one, the voice of Peekaboo was just, it's almost as bad as the voice of some of the kids that we've seen. It was just aggravating as heck. And you just brought it up, the father-son reunion. Hold on a second. They specifically mentioned in the episode that he has not seen his son since his son was 12. All right. And we also discover in the episode that his son is currently 18. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know how many parents out there would not be able to recognize their child if the only age difference is 6 years.
Yeah, that's...
We're not talking about a 5-year-old and a 25-year-old, which you might not recognize. We're talking about a 12-year-old right before he's a teenager and an 18-year-old who still is a teenager. Like, I don't understand how you don't recognize him. To me, that's a big plot hole because I don't buy that at all in any shape. So then the whole reveal of, oh, that was my son's name or that was my dad's name or whatever it was that finally keyed it off. Why don't... Give me a break. I was rolling my eyes.
Yeah,
so I had a problem with that.
Strange.
Anything else for you, Fright Zone, Whispering Woods, that you didn't get to talk about?
I'm trying to figure out here where she first came into being. We've got, according to the He-Man Wikia, we've got Filmation appearances for Peekaboo, Enchanted Castle, the Christmas special, One to Count On, Something Old, Something New, but that was a background cameo, and then The Perils of Peekaboo. So I'm not sure, it doesn't specifically say here
if she ever spoke or was just in the background or something like that.
It doesn't, like, normally on most wikis they'll say first appearance this episode and last appearance this episode.
Right.
It doesn't do that here.
Well, I'm sure one of the kind listeners will allow us to figure out if we're right or wrong in that. I'll have the answer, though, here in a second, because doing the work for Behind the Voice Actors, I've been capturing characters as they kind of go through and adding them. So by the end of this, that page will actually be something that any fans of She-Ra can go look at, and it'll show you every single speaking character, whether it's a side character or anything like that. So I think One to Count On, she speaks in. And outside of that, it's just The Perils of Peekaboo. So just the two speaking appearances.
Well, we already had One to Count On, didn't we?
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, One to Count On was the first time we saw her, and now here we get kind of her origin or whatever, I guess.
And the PSA was about drugs messing with your mind, just how Peekaboo was getting her mind messed with. So the drug PSA. Nothing needed as far as discussion about that. So take a quick pause. We'll be back for the final time to award hardware and see if we line up as well as we did with last episode on our Crystal Castle rating.
Her name is Peekaboo. Her mystic vision allows her to see anywhere, even into the Whispering Woods. Unfortunately, she sides with the rebels.
Well, that can be changed. robots. Hear your leader. I want the rebel called Peekabaloo. Capture her for me. Now. Not be long now before Peekabaloo is also a guest in my dungeon.
By the way, Hordak, that prisoner you recaptured, what was he arrested for?
His cart splashed mud on a trooper. I gave him 20 years.
You let him off easy.
I know, but I was feeling merciful that day.
All right, Mike, last chance for today to hand out some hardware. What do you got?
I will give a protection sword to Peekabaloo. I really did enjoy her character. I will give... I can't believe I'm doing this, but... I'm giving a protection sword to Hordak.
Hordak?
Because, again, what I've noticed with Hordak at certain times in certain episodes is how the animators basically work around the vocal with his facial expressions, and some of his eyes bug out at times, and sometimes he has weird mouth movements, right. and it's just hilarious. And also, I'm giving him one for the fact that he had an old-timey cannon.
Fair enough. I will be agreeing with you on the Peekabaloo. I also give her a protection sword, even if I didn't like her voice, but I did like her as a character in this episode. So, Crystal Castle rating, what do you give it?
3.5. It's average on the side of being good.
Folks, I'm not lying about this. I'm not changing my votes. I literally have, and you never give like a 3.5, it seems like, and I'm also giving this one a 3.5. So we are identical ratings for almost all three episodes. I just had one little higher notch on the first episode. So both giving 3.5 to The Perils of Peekabaloo. And I have to see if people agree with us or not on that one. But let's take a final break, and you'll come back with our thoughts. Yeah, I know you're not excited here going forward, but we'll have to see. We got 13 episodes left.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
We are back here on Myths of Etheria, here inside the Powers of Grayskull series on GeekCast Radio Network. And, 13 more to go. Isn't that just prime?
Hey, I'm going to say something to you. Hopefully to shift your mind thought process and your attitude here going forward to these final 13. Because I have, obviously, I'm the script boy, so I've gotten all the scripts done for the remainder of this series. And if I told you, I'll give you a little inside baseball here, if I told you that half of the remaining episodes feature crossovers between Etheria and Eternia, would you be more excited about the final 13?
But we've seen crossovers that are both good and bad at times.
Majority of them seem to be good, though. So, I mean, yeah. We do have that. I can tell you, we're going to see a lot of different characters from Eternia the rest of the way out. So,
well, you think I'm being negative and strange now? Just wait until episode 83 of the Masters in Space series for Power.
Oh no, it's we're gonna try to make that not negative and more humorous. I think that's gonna have to be the goal. But yeah, I think there's a lot to look forward to. See, we're gonna have a lot of crossovers. We're gonna get to see some familiar faces from back in Eternia. We're also gonna get to see some more of these side or newer rebels. I'm not gonna say which ones, but we are gonna get to see a variety of them. We're also gonna get a couple returning characters that aren't necessarily main Rebel or Horde members, so we'll see how that works. I'm not sure if those are going to be good episodes or not, but I'm at least intrigued. There's only 13 to go. Let's have some fun. Let's go out on a high note.
Thank you for listening to the Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter. @GeekCastRadio is the network Twitter. You can follow @PowOfGrayskull for the show. I am at TFGN Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the myths today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will be taking a look at the final 2, 3, 4, 7, I don't know what the hell that says, next 3 episodes for She-Ra, Just the Way You Are, isn't that an old Hall & Oates song, The Locket, and She-Ra Makes a Promise that She Eventually Breaks. For now, I am TFGN Mike with
the one and only Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.